Well, good morning, church. Isn't Jesus wonderful?
Amen.
He's wonderful all the time.
Yes, he is. All the time, Jesus is wonderful. Amen. Amen.
Apologize for the noisiness there. Amen. Well, because we treasure the Word of God, I'd ask you to stand right now as I read our opening scripture. Our opening scripture is going to come out of John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. And as I read our opening scripture in preparation to receive the message for today. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it has the power to change our lives. And as we read it, Father, I thank you that its words will sink deep into our heart and our spirit. And Father, that we would have the courage and the strength by you to live them out in Jesus' name. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen. You may be seated. Well, praise God. So Jesus is the light of the world. And as I was contemplating the message this morning, last week I began a series that I believe that the Lord is directing me into, and it's just really talking about the seven, if you will, the seven magnificent sayings of Jesus. We're seeing the Father through those seven magnificent sayings of Jesus that last week he said, I am the bread of life. And that was taken out of the Word of God, where he actually spoke and told us that he was the bread of life. And so we're talking about the magnificent seven. And when we use the word magnificent, it is an adjective. It's impressive. It's beautiful. It's elaborate. It's extravagant. These are synonyms for that term, the magnificent seven. So today we're actually going to be in the second of the magnificent sayings, and that is that I am the light of the world. When he said, I am the light of the world. And I've always been fascinated by light. I like lights at Christmas time. Am I the only one? Do you like lights? I like lights. It's something about lights that I like them. When I was younger and involved in church plays, I liked to paint the stage with light, like doing light design for the stage. You know, if it was a nighttime scene, I'd like to paint it with dark blue and make things kind of look shadowy. And then if it was a daytime scene, I liked golden tones. If it was a warm scene of somebody in a living room having a conversation, I wanted it to have kind of that warm glow or that warm feeling. And I don't think that I'm alone in liking light. Have you ever thought about the fact of what it would be like if we did not have electric lights? How much work that would be to constantly fill up oil lamps? And back in Jesus' day, when he talked about himself being light, that was the way it was done. And there are still many parts of the world that don't have electricity 24 hours a day like we do. There are many parts of the world where very remote places where they make little lamps out of canned goods, the empty cans from canned goods, and they fashion them out, little oil lamps. I know that one of my first missions trips to the Republic of Haiti, that's how they lit up the church at night. If they were having a nighttime service, everybody walked in with a little canister and a little light. It was just amazing because we were in these places where it was so dark at night. You could see every star in the sky. There was no light pollution. And yet, if they were going to do anything at night, they had to have a light. They had to have a light to find their way. And so as I think and contemplate, how can we see the Father through these seven magnificent sayings of Jesus, where he said, I am the bread of life. And then he said, I am the light of the world. When I look at the context of where he was speaking this, Many times we don't often take the time to look at the context. The context in John chapter 8, we read verse 12, when Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I think about the power of that saying and how tremendous that was. But when you put it in context of the story of what is happening, then you also know that this is where Jesus was brought a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. So this is the context of when he spoke this was when the Pharisees brought, in verse 3 of that same chapter, they brought to Jesus a woman caught in the act of adultery and set her in the midst. Now, and they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded that we should, that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something to which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. And so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, why is that important? The context is important because we understand that when he said, I'm the light of the world, it had to do with the fact that he was setting somebody free from sin.
Amen.
He was not condemning them. He was not judging them. He was, and he could have. You realize that. He could have. He could have been the only one in that group who could have said and could have done what the law commanded. But Jesus came to fulfill the law, thank God. And he came to take the penalty of sin for us. So when he said, I am the light of the world, he said, I'm the light. I'm going to turn on the light here.
Yeah.
And that was an astounding, magnificent saying, a magnificent phrase, a phrase that stands out. I think about the fact that if you've paid any attention to the newscasters the last couple of days, it had to do with the Northern Lights. Did anybody see the Northern Lights? I know some folks said, I saw it. Sure, this is what Ike saw. And some folks said, I was asleep. I was one of those. I didn't know that there was some kind of event like that. And then, yesterday my coworkers were all talking to me and saying, oh, did you see the Northern Lights? I said, no, I didn't even know. You know, I was asleep, you know. But I ended up downloading one of these apps that tells you whether or not you can see them or not. And I looked last night. I was waiting. And the app never said that it was going to be good. So I never saw them. But, you know, there's something about light that just captivates us. And when we think about even space travel, we think about the fact that people talk about the speed of light. Have you ever thought about what the speed of light actually is? It's like circling the planet Earth like 30 times in 1 second.
Yeah.
You know, if you get in a plane and you go to You name wherever you're from, whether it's another part of the earth that you're from. If you go to India, that's a long flight. If you go to the Philippines, how long's the flight?
Like 18 hours
to the Philippines, right? If you go to India, I think it's about the same. It, you know, actually, these days, when people talk about jumping the pond to go to Europe, it's only, you know, like 4 hours or 6 hours, whatever it is, you know, by the time you drive 2 hours to the airport and, it, you know, it gets up there. But the actual flight is pretty, you know, bearable to go to Europe. However, when you think about the speed of light being 186,000 miles a second. That's fast. So sometimes I kind of, well, that's at the speed of Jesus, right? I just like light. Light exposes things. Sometimes you need to see something a little clearer, right? You need to turn on that flashlight on your phone to look at that serial number that's too small unless you have superhuman eyesight in order to see it. Light is so valuable to us. And the word tells us that light dispels the darkness. And when we understand that Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he who walks, or he believes in me, walks with me, that they don't walk in darkness. They don't walk in darkness. Now, you know your house really well. And so if the lights go out in your house, you kind of sort of know where to find something. And what do you usually reach for first? I can tell you where the Mitchell household reaches for. It's all the specialized lanterns and lights that we have stashed in different spots. Because my wife is prepared. If the light goes out, we know exactly where the lanterns are. There's one under my desk. There's one in that drawer. There's one. And you just have to find one, right? You just have to find one to find your way.
That's right.
You know, because there's no sense stumbling around in the darkness. Not if you don't have to. And we're prepared, right? So the more and more I thought about it, you know, I have this little light here. Just to illustrate the point, this is a rechargeable little light that they use for video and things of that nature. But this light, in order for it to work, has to be charged up. Mm-hmm. If it's not connected first to the power, this light won't do any good. It will be a paperweight. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got a cool little feature. It's magnetic. It's got a cool little features, but it won't do any good to me if it's not charged up. If it's not regularly plugged into the source. So what am I getting at? What this truth tells us about Jesus, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And he says, he who follows me, follows me. There's the key. Do you really follow after Jesus? If you follow him, it says this, you're not going to walk in darkness. Why? Because you have the light with you. If you're following him, he's the light, then his light shines in the direction you're supposed to go. If you're following him, you're connected to him. Just like this light has to be connected to the power source, you and I, as believers, we need to be connected to the power source, connected to the light. That is relationship with Jesus Christ. If we're not connected, then it's hard to follow. If we're not connected in a vibrant relationship with him, it's difficult to follow somebody that you can't see, that you're not connected to. How can you follow somebody that you can't even see? Because the light never was turned on in your life. We turn on that life through belief. I think it's interesting that Jesus says this phrase in verse 12. He says it right after right after he sets free the woman caught in the act of adultery. Right after that, that's when he's, but I think it's interesting that he tells her, I don't condemn you, but go sin no more. Sin, pictorially in the scriptures, is walking in darkness. When we willfully sin, we're walking in darkness. It's as if we just turn out the light and decide to stumble around in the dark. And yet Jesus tells this woman, who obviously had a life of sin, based on what we know, doesn't tell her name, doesn't tell anything about her, other than Jesus did not condemn her. Instead, he set her free, and he said to her, go and sin no more. So if we're going to walk in the light as he is in the light, then we don't need to have fellowship with darkness. And that's what the scripture tells us, not to have fellowship with darkness. That's not to beat anybody over the head. Light is an awesome thing. I would rather follow the light than stub my toe. Anybody in here ever stepped on a Lego in the middle of the night? Do I have any amens in here from parents? I don't know. Those Legos, they are like stepping on glass. I'm surprised they don't break the skin, but boy, they feel like it. On barefoot, and you step on a Lego, what is that? It's a torture thing, right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to stumble around in the darkness. I want to be able to see where the Legos are. All right? So the word, when I'm talking to you about walking in the light as he is in the light, that's not to condemn anybody. In fact, in the context of this, Jesus wasn't condemning the woman who was in the act of adultery. Now, she was obviously set up by the religious leaders. She was being, you know, used in more ways than one. And yet, Jesus sets her free. But he does tell her, don't sin anymore. Don't sin anymore. So he's the light. He's the light. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7 says this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Aren't you glad about that?
Yes.
I love that. If we walk in the light, that's staying connected. If we're going to stay connected, how do you stay connected, Pastor? Well, you find out what he's interested in. You connect with him in relationship through spending time in his word, talking to the Lord, spending time in his presence, saying, Lord, I just need you to talk to me. Have you ever done that? I think some of us, we get afraid of what God might tell us. We get so busy, we're like, we just stay busy because we don't want to stop long enough to say what God might tell us. Because he might adjust us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with him. So how do you fellowship with the Father? How do you fellowship with Jesus? You spend time with him.
Yes.
You spend time with him. And you know that I've talked about Pastor Christine walking every single day now since 2020, walking outside for 10 minutes every day, right? Well, in the beginning stages of that, she would ask me to join her, and I didn't join her. Shame on Pastor right now. No, bad pastor, right? I'm joking. But over a course of time, I wanted to spend time with her. And we live very busy lives, working multiple jobs, pastoring, preparing messages, things of that nature. And so I wanted to spend time with her. And I wanted to find out how her day went. Do you know that that's important? You gotta, so I don't do it every day because sometimes we're so busy we don't get a chance to connect like that. But not too long ago, I would say probably in the last year and a half or so, I would say, she would say, I'm going to take my walk. She'll message me. I'm going to take my walk. And I'll say, wait for me. Or she'll say, do you want me to go ahead? Because I know you're going to be late. You're going to be doing this. And I'll say, yeah, go ahead. Or I'll say, no, wait for me because we got to catch up. What is that? That's spending time. That's just downloading what's happening in my day. How was your day? She's a teacher of middle school. She's got stories to tell, and they're fun. And then, you know, me, I work retail. I get to tell her if a famous person came in, you know. You know, and so we talk and we share. What are we doing? We're spending time with each other. We're talking. And then if something's important, we'll talk about that. Something that's pressing on our family, something that we need to pray about. There have been times where we've prayed on that walk. There have been times that we've just listened to each other when we're going through something. Why is that important? Because that's fellowship. If we're going to walk in the light, we have fellowship with who? With Jesus. Fellowship with him. What is that? That's the connection. That's how we then become a reflection of God's light in our lives. It's not rocket science. You know, sometimes I think we preachers just tell you, walk in the light. But then we don't tell you how. Go take a walk with Jesus. Go talk to him. Go talk to him. Just sit in his presence. I knew one businessman one time. He was facing some really, really big pressures in his life. His business was struggling. They weren't making ends meet. And he was a believer. And he went to God to talk to God about his business. Do you know God can handle everything that you are going through? Even the things that you don't think he cares about? He cares about them. And I'll never forget, he told the story one time. To me personally, and he said, I just did this. He said, I set up two chairs. He said, I set up two chairs. Just like this. He said, and I'm gonna talk to God. And he told God, he goes, God, I am not leaving here until you give me an answer. And he sat there as if he was having a conversation with a business partner. In fact, that was his business partner. He was constantly giving of his business to the kingdom of God, looking for opportunities to sow into the kingdom of God, doing free jobs for people, doing when he knew they were struggling. And he was looking for those opportunities to say, okay, God, I'm not moving until you give me some answers. You know, Lord, I'm doing what I know to do, but now I need you to talk to me. What is that? That's fellowship. That's problem solving. And he sat there and God began to give him answers. So as if we're really going to walk in the light, it's not just about performance. Oh, I've got to be perfect. It's about connection. Do you hear me? It's about, are you connected to the source, to the power source? If my little light here, if I use it up, it needs to be recharged. We, as believers, if we're not connected to him, we will be depleted and we will no longer have a bright light to shine on those around us. God is calling us to be light in the world as well. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Live as children of light. That means we live by walking in his light and reflecting his light wherever we are. Reflecting his goodness. Reflecting his goodness. Recently I may have told this story. I know I told it to some of our leaders. I'm not sure if I told you all this, but I had an opportunity to actually do a presentation at work. And the presentation at work is, it's pretty rare. In the 13 years I've worked there, I've not ever done that. And as I gave the presentation, my opening line was, in case you don't know, I want to tell you a little bit about me. And I had perfect freedom to do this. I said, number one, I am a Christ follower. And purposely, because of the audience that I was with, I purposely said I'm a Christ follower, rather than just use the generic term of Christian. I used that on purpose, because when you're a Christ follower, it means I'm serious about my faith.
That's right.
I am serious about my walk with God. And I said that, and I got to be honest with you. The big boss was there. My boss's boss was there. I didn't know they were going to be there, but they were. And I was wondering what kind of reception I would get, because I said, you need to know a little bit about me before I give my little talk. Number one, I'm a Christ follower. Number two, I'm a husband. Number three, I'm a dad. And number four, I am a pastor of the church. And I said, it's in that order too. And it was received much better than I thought. Do you know, I think the world is looking for somebody to actually be bold enough to turn on the light.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
They're actually looking for somebody to be bold. I'm not talking about being mean. I am not talking about being political. I am not talking about being brash. I'm talking about just being forthright.
Yes.
This is who I am.
Yes.
And shining that light. And the word tells us that we are to live as what? Children of light. Children of light. That means we should be shining the light on everything, not hiding in the corner, not in the shadows, but staying connected, staying connected. Well, what's another way that I, Pastor, I spend time with God and I just don't always know what to do. And like I said, sometimes I think we're nervous because of what he might say to us. But if you'll just start where you can, give him, you've heard me say, Give him something to work with. Give him something to work with. The first 15 minutes, if you can. That's that 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. 5 minutes of reading the Bible. 5 minutes of praying. 5 minutes of maybe listening to worship music. And listening for his voice. Do you have something to say to me, Lord?
Yes, yes, amen.
In our fast-paced society, we miss out on what we're to do because we don't take the time. We don't take the time. We're too distracted. Too distracted. You know, the word tells us in Psalm 119 in verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you want to walk in the light, then find out where that light source can become, where you can grab a hold of it at any time. And these days, you can have so many different translations on your phone.
That's it.
You know, years ago, pastors would have libraries. One of the pastors I worked with had a huge library. He had to have the carpenter in the church, in the church men's ministry, to come and build extra bookshelves. He had a PhD. He was a college president at one point in California, a Bible college president. He had so many books, books and books and books. You can carry all that library right in your phone now, 20 some years later. You don't have an excuse not to be able to access the lamp that will give your feet light to know where to go and what to do. We can walk in the light. We can be children of the light. And it just takes the connection. And it takes the connection to his word. So connect to him. Connect to his word. It's real simple. And you don't have to learn all these flowery prayers. You can just say, God, I need an answer. My business is struggling. I need an answer. Help me. You know, God does not turn away a prayer like that. He doesn't. Especially if you're believing that he'll answer you. And he will answer. He will answer. He may not answer always the way you wanted him to answer. But he's got the answer. My wife used to say years ago, she came up with this phrase. I don't know if she got it from somewhere else, or I have no idea if the Holy Ghost gave it to her or not, but there's a God solution to every problem. There is a God solution to every problem. And if you would keep in the light, keep in the light, I believe that God will give you an answer to whatever it is that you are facing today, whatever it is. I'm reminded of what the Gospel of John starts out with. In fact, John chapter 1 gives us a glimpse into this walking in the light and knowing that Jesus is the light of the world. It says this in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's verse 5. That word comprehend has to do with not understanding, but overtaking. So the darkness never overtakes the light. The light always, say always,
always,
always overtakes darkness. Always. And if you don't believe me, they say that NASA, with the space station, they can see if somebody lights a match on planet Earth in a dark space. They can actually see it from the space station. Isn't that amazing? Light is powerful. Without light, there is no life. And yet, Jesus is that light. We see in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And it says in verse 6, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness. So, Pastor, how do I do it? Pull up a chair. Talk to him. Connect. Recharge your battery. Be a part of a local church. If you're not part of a local church, be a part of one. Yeah, you say, but I've been hurt. Well, everybody has, right? But guess what? When we're around believers of like precious faith, we charge up one another. There are gifts you have that I don't have. There are things that I have that you don't have. And when we come together, that light gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. There used to be a song we used to sing at a church that I was a part of, and it was from the Word of God. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The path of the righteous. So as we shine and walk through and walk in the light as he is in the light, I believe that God is able to cause darkness to flee and cause his light to shine. And just like the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, people will leave their sinful life behind and they will walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's a good God, and I'm so glad that he's given us that. And he is a good God. Aren't you so thankful for light? I am. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that it has the power to change us, to change the way we think, to change the way we walk. Father, that we would connect with you. We would walk in the light as you are in the light. And Father, I thank you that, God, that your love and your great grace is here for us today in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're watching online, and perhaps you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to receive him into your life. If you're here today and you want to recommit your life to him, I want you just to pray a simple prayer with us together. If you're either coming to the Lord for the first time or recommitting your life to the Lord, we want to say this simple prayer out loud together. If you're there at home, you go ahead and just bow your head with us. If you're here in this space, in this place, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you're either coming to Christ for the first time or you're recommitting your life to him, would you just raise up your hand in this place? Is there anybody at all? All right. Praise God. All right. Let's just pray this simple prayer. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I thank you, Father God.
I thank you, Father,
that Jesus
came
into this earth, to die for my sins,
to
pay the price
that I could not pay.
And Father, he was raised from the dead by you. I receive his forgiveness, and I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or that was an act of recommitting, maybe you raised your hand in your heart, maybe you raised your hand or wanted to raise your hand. If that's you, I believe God met you right where you are. And we want to help you in your walk with God. If you live far away from Mount Kisco, we can help you find a church. We want to help you in your walk with God. We want to send you some things and just pray with you and believe God with you that as you start that new life in Christ, that God would just empower your life and help you to walk in the light and leave your past behind, leave the shame behind, and experience all of his new life. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, next week we're going to talk about Jesus said, I am the door. And we're going to talk about how these seven magnificent sayings can change our lives. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we have our sending out verse this morning. If you need any special prayer, I'll be available down front to pray for anybody who needs healing. You'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You would like to just have prayer about a situation. I'm going to be down front here. If you need any kind of prayer, I'm going to be here available to pray with you. But let's say our sending out verse at this time. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you and happy Mother's Day.
Amen.